Hebrews chapter number 10. Thank you for all the teenagers that helped Brother Gordon this week and getting that all ready. And anybody who had a part in that, thank you so much for doing it. And I know it's a lot of work, but it means a lot for the kids, and they love it and they enjoy it. I know my kids do, and they are looking forward to it this week. And Hebrews chapter 10, let's all stand together. Let's go to verse number 22. Hebrews 10, verse number 22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I pray that as we come to this passage of Scripture, Lord, that we would find some values that ought to be a part of our life as a Christian. If we consider ourselves a Christian, Lord, this passage should be something that's very, very important, big priority in our life. And I pray, Lord, as you'd help me as I preach it, Lord, give me the words to say, Lord. I pray that you'd help me to get out of the way, and I pray that what you want me to preach is preached in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Many Christians today attend church based on convenience. If it works out, then I'll go. If something else comes up, they don't worry about it. Church attendance should be based on conviction, not convenience. It's the title of my message this morning, Conviction, Not Convenience. If we went when it was convenient, we wouldn't go very often. I know I wouldn't, for sure. There's a lot of things, if I wanted it to, could get in the way of me coming to church. But at this point in my life, I was raised in a home where church wasn't, it didn't have to be a decision on Sunday morning. It didn't even have to be a decision Saturday night. It was a decision made a long time ago. Before I was ever born, it was a decision. And it wasn't, we didn't have to think about it. It just became a part of my life growing up. But you know, when I became an adult, I had to make that decision. I couldn't just say, well, I'm going to church because my parents go to church. I'm 19 years old now. I mean, I still lived in their house still when I'd come home from college. So yeah, if I was going to live in my dad's house, I had to go to church. But I could have left. I could have left. But I decided at a young age, church is a priority. And I'm not going to decide on a Saturday night if I feel like going to church. Or if I'd rather go fishing, or if I'd rather go on a boat somewhere with some friends, or go hang out with somebody, or get invited to a party. Church had to become a priority in my life. And once church became a priority in my life, I didn't have to make that decision. Those of you in this room, there's some of you that have made that decision a long time ago. That church is a priority. When the doors of this building are open and it's time for church, Wednesday night, Sunday school, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday night, you already decided a long time ago, church is a priority for me. It's a priority for our family. I could ask some of you to stand up tonight and ask and this morning and say, what have been the benefits of making church a priority for you and for your family? We could hear a lot of good stuff this morning. Of what it has done for you personally. Some of you in this room grew up just like I did. And you grew up going to church every single service unless you were sick. You just went to church. It's what you did. It was a priority. Some in this room may be newer to Christian. Maybe you got saved as an adult. And you had to make that decision later on in life. And now you've made it a priority. Then there's some in this room that have not quite made it a priority just yet. But you're coming to church. You've dipped your foot into church and you're starting to get used to it. Man, I need this church. I need this. But it hasn't become priority number one. Whoa. About to fall over on priority number one. Hospital might have been priority number one right there. Number one priority in your life. Every Christian is as faithful to church as he or she chooses to be. The issue is rarely ability. It is usually priority. Where does it fit in your priorities? It has to be a decision that's made for a long time. I've known people that made the decision a long time ago that church was priority Nothing could get in the way of it unless, man, we were sick or some type of an emergency that came in the way. Church was number one. We weren't going out on a picnic as a family. We weren't going on a boat somewhere. We weren't going to hang out. We weren't going to the beach. We weren't doing those things. Church was number one, and everything fit around that schedule. That's what I was taught. And there's many in this room, and there's many who used to be in this room who made that a priority. But then some things happened that made it not as big a priority. Number one this morning, here's eight things. They were not going to be all long, I promise you, right? It's a danger. I told my wife, it's a danger about announcing how many points you're going to have, because then they're timing it all throughout the time. Man, we've only gotten through two. We've only gotten through three. They're going to be quick, all right? I promise this morning, if you're obedient, all right? No, just kidding. Number one, I want to be obedient to God. I want to be obedient to who? Say it with me. Bible says, verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. You say, well, those are some weird words that I don't use very much, Brother Nichols. What does that even mean? That means not leaving. This is an assembly of believers right here. Can I get an amen? Amen. We have assembled together for what? What have we assembled for? Church. Amen. We've assembled together for church, not for a rock concert, not for a basketball game. We've assembled together for church. Amen. We're not to forsake this. Well, what does that mean? To walk away from it, to leave it, to stay away from it. We're supposed to be here. God gave us this place here, this property here, called a church. He gifted it to you. He gifted it to me. It was a gift to us that he gave us. If he gifted you something, shouldn't it be a priority? Yes. Scripture talks all about how important church should be. If it shouldn't be a priority, then open up your Bible and please show me the verses where the Bible and God clearly said that it shouldn't be a priority. I'm just going to talk to you this morning about what the Scripture says and what we can learn from and the benefits we'll get from when we make it a conviction and not a convenience. Faithfully attending church is a direct command from God. We are not to forsake the assembly for worship. I've known churches that are people who used to attend church faithfully. It's possible, yes, you can be saved and on your way to heaven and not attend church faithfully. You don't have to attend church faithfully to be saved on your way to heaven. Thank God for that. I'm thankful that in spite of our dumb decisions to skip church and not be a part of church, we can still be saved. I'm thankful for that. But it is impossible to be obedient, saved Christian, and not attend church. I'm being as direct with you this morning as the Scripture is direct with you and me. How can you be obedient when we go against what God says? God didn't give us a church for us to attend it every once in a great while. He gave us church to be faithful to church. Why else should it be a conviction and not convenience? Number two, I want to encourage other Christians. What if you came to church today, you haven't been in a while, and you came to church and you were the only one here? That's encouraging. Right? Man, that's just like, whoo, this just stirs me up. Man, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited I get to sing all by myself, and only me and the song leader and pastor, they get to hear me sing. This is awesome. No, it would be discouraging. Where is everybody? First question that come to your mind. Where is everybody? Man, people are quitting on church. It wouldn't help you. I wonder if everybody who had the mindset that you have with church, ask yourself this question. If everybody treated church the way I treat church, whatever priority you have it at, if everybody treated church the way I treat it, what kind of church would Blessed Hope Baptist Church be? What kind of impact would Blessed Hope Baptist Church be in our community here? How many people would come to the cause of Christ and get saved? If it was based upon your thought process of where you place the priority of your church attendance. I'm passionate about this because I've seen people that have made church a priority do incredible things with their life. And I've seen God do incredible things. I've seen God bless people's life because they just made church a priority. I've seen new Christians who got saved who just said, I'm going to church no matter what. I'm making it a priority. I've seen the hand of God just bless their life because of making church number one in their life. And the rest of their schedule fit around church. But I've also seen the opposite of when a Christian that started coming to church, it was just, well, let's see, what do we got on the schedule? I think we can make it to church on Sunday. Maybe not. We got this going on. We'll see. Hand of God and blessings of God will come off of your life if you have that mindset. I want to encourage other Christians. Here's what the Bible says. It says, a new commandment, John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Ephesians 4:32, our memory verse last month. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Galatians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together, not by yourself, together, and edify one another, even as also you do. And lastly, Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, it is impossible to express love one to another when we're absent. Amen. It's impossible to care for each other, be there for each other when we're just always absent, when we're not faithful. How many of you say, I have a friend who's just always there for me? Maybe it's a spouse. It's okay if you have somebody, you can raise your hand this morning, all right? I like to get people involved in services, keep you awake, all right? Because my preaching sometimes puts you to sleep, but I can ask you to raise your hand to keep you awake a little bit, all right? But we have people in our life who we say, man, this person is just a faithful friend. They are there for me. Your spouse, maybe it is, you say, man, they're just always there for me when I need them. When that friend starts distancing themselves from you, you feel it. Am I correct? You feel it. They don't want to be around you as much, and they're just not talking to you as much, and you just gives you anxiety. What's going on? There's something between us, and it hurts. How can you encourage other Christians? We all want to be encouraged, but the Bible commands us to encourage one another, uplift one another, be there for one another. Not always serve me, serve me. We should be serving each other and helping each other. That's what a true friend is, amen? It's what a true friend is supposed to do. How can we do that? How can we accomplish it if we don't come to the one place that brings Christians together? Church, a priority, should be high. A pastor went to go visit a man, an unfaithful man who in his church just was unfaithful to church. And he went to go visit this man, and he sat down in his living room trying to talk to him about the importance of being faithful to church. And this man tried to convince him that, you know, he could just come to church every now and then. He could read his Bible at home and still just have just as much faith and zeal and be a great Christian. And they were sitting in the living room where the fireplace was at, and the pastor went and got one of those coals out of the fire and put it off to the side. And they just kept their conversation. He didn't say anything about it. And he could see that ember start to just lose the fire in it. And it got to become cold and black. By the end of their conversation, it wasn't even hot anymore. And the man looked at the pastor and said, point taken. I'll be in church on Sunday, Pastor. You can't be a on-fire Christian and do great things for God if you don't make church a priority. We need to encourage one another. Why else should it be a conviction and not convenience? Because I want to be like Jesus? Would that be a good reason? Here's what Luke 4:16 says, and he, talking about Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Pastor says it all the time, say it with me, the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. As his custom was, Jesus went to the place of worship on the day of worship faithfully. You can be saved and not faithfully attend church, but you cannot be an obeying godly Christian and not faithfully attend church. Number four, why else should it be a conviction and not just convenience? I don't want to miss what might be a life-changing service. I'm going to ask you again, how many have been to a service at Blessville Baptist Church where it was a life-changing decision, the decisions you've made? Do you look back and say, man, I wish I missed that service? Maybe it caused you to make some more sacrifices in your life. So you're like, eh, kind of. Got a little under too much conviction in that service. No, but we look back at those services and we say, man, I'm glad I didn't miss that. Glad I didn't miss that message. My hand could also be raised for services that I've missed. Sickness, or I was gone out of town and I heard about what God did at a service. Been there before? It doesn't matter how much people talk about it. How great it was. If you weren't here, it's not as good. You didn't feel the power of God. You didn't feel the life-changing moments in the service that God created here at the church just from hearing other people talk about it. Watching a service online is not the same as being in church. I'm thankful when I'm sick that I get to watch service and get to watch it online. I'm glad I don't have to sit home and not have that opportunity. I'm glad that it's available, but it shouldn't be a crutch for us that, well, I'm not going to go to church. I'm just going to watch it online. Oh, it's okay. We've got this. It's the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. Don't lie to yourself and say it's the same thing. I'm thankful for it, and it should be used for when we cannot make it to church, when we're not able to. I understand. For our elderly, it's a great thing. And when they can't make it, man, I'm thankful that they get to have an experience, a part of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But even they'll tell you, it's just not the same. Don't lie to yourself and try to convince yourself. The devil would love for you to say, you know what, you can be a couch potato Christian and just watch church at home. No, don't worry about it. It's the same thing. They've tried to bring that mentality into America with TV evangelism and church on TV. They've tried. And then, you know, what's really hurt Christianity in America was COVID. Yeah. People got comfortable sitting at home justifying that, you know, it's okay. Now we can't even go to church legally. It's okay. And we allowed that to develop in us. And now it's a problem. Now it's a bad habit amongst getting people just to go to church. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to miss a life-changing service. I think of Thomas in this passage of scripture of John chapter 20, where it says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Can you imagine being Thomas? Jesus dies on the cross, is risen, comes back. They're in the upper room. All the disciples are there. Thomas is not there. He misses this opportunity when Jesus comes back. Think about what those men got to experience that Thomas missed. Bible doesn't talk about all these other times when he missed, but he missed this one service, missed this one opportunity. He missed a lot in this time. Man, he could have seen Jesus' nail-scarred hands, could have seen his side that was pierced. Man, they were scared. They were nervous about how they were going to move forward with their lives, and Jesus brought peace to them. I'm alive. Don't worry. Go out there. Preach the gospel everywhere. Everywhere. Jesus brought peace to them. Because Thomas was absent, he missed seeing the risen Christ. He missed hearing those words of peace from Jesus. He missed viewing those nail-scarred hands in his side. He missed the joy that filled the hearts of all the other disciples. And as a result, while the other disciples were rejoicing, the Bible talks about Thomas was struggling with doubt, known as Doubting Thomas. He missed the opportunity when Jesus was there. The tragedy was not that he missed the gathering. He missed what Jesus did at the gathering. You never know what God may do in a church service. One sermon may touch your life. Man, one song may touch your life. One testimony, one invitation that God intended for you specifically, and you decided to not make church a priority, and it didn't change your life. The next service you miss may be the very service God prepared just for you. Where is church on your list right now? Is it just something that you're dabbling with and not taking serious? You can do that. We live in America. Aren't you thankful? I'm thankful we live in America where they don't say, you have to go to church. If you're not in church by 9:30 a.m., we will come to your door. We will put you in jail. I'm thankful that we have the freedom. Because God's given you the freedom and given me the freedom based upon Scripture to decide if we want church. But I'm here to testify this morning. If you decide to make church a priority in your life for the rest of your life, so that when Saturday night comes and you're tired from all the week you have, the work, all the stuff you had going on, and maybe it's a busy Saturday, you don't even have to make a decision on Saturday. It can be there for you to where when Saturday comes, you already preparing to go to church on Sunday. It's not a big question mark. Nothing's going to get in the way of it unless it's an emergency or sickness. You've already decided long ago, I'm going to church no matter what. And I'm telling you, when you get to that place, there are so many more benefits in your life that you have no clue. And just like Thomas, I can say all I want and testify about how great it is just to be there, to be in church, what God will do with your life. But yeah, I promise you, you will always doubt it, like Thomas did, if you don't do it for yourself. Man, give God this next year of your life of saying, God, I'm committing an entire year to you. Maybe you've never decided to fully make church a priority. Maybe you should this entire next year. From what's today, the 8th? This is June 8th? 7th, June 7th. June 7th to June 7th. God, this year is your year. You are my priority. Church is my priority. See what God does with 1 year of you fully committing to Him to say, just church. I'm not asking you to do anything else right now. Just give Him church and say, Lord, I'm going to make church a priority. I'm going to be in church faithfully. And just see what God does with 1 year of church in your life. And then after that, make your decision. Is this going to be a lifelong decision? Or do I want to go back to, you know, just every a few times a month when I have some time, I'll make God a priority. I promise you, you won't get very far in life. You know, something I've learned too is you'll miss a lot of funny things that happen in church. You'll miss a lot of funny things that happen in church. I remember I was a youth pastor. I mean, this young teenage boy who was like 13 years old. He was just an interesting kid. He was hilarious too. And just off the wall, just, and we're in church and all of a sudden, he's getting a phone call during the preaching, and he's sitting like probably back over here on the left, probably about 7 or 8 rows back, and I'm just standing in the back, and he goes, hey, Mom, are you still going to Taco Bell? Mom, I mean, super loud. I mean, this is not a whisper. Okay? What I'm telling you right now is like the volume level he's talking. Like, everybody in the auditorium can hear him, and I'm like, where's he at? I'm just hearing this voice. Mom, can you give me, Get those chicken tacos for me. I'm like going over there and getting the phone. I'm trying to grab the phone. Mom, they're trying to take the phone from me. Give me chicken tacos. I want 4 of them. I want 5 of them. Mom, come on. And he's like standing up and he's pulling away from me. I'm like, give me the chicken phone. What are you doing? I'm like, whew. About to kill the kid. I'm like, go ahead, Dad. Keep preaching. Wow. Then he had another phone. No, I'm just kidding. He had another phone. I remember my dad was preaching on the walls of Jericho and he had brought a trumpet into the pulpit with him. And he pulled out this trumpet to play the trumpet for them to march around the walls. And as soon as he played the trumpet, my dad used to play the trumpet years ago, so he knew how to do it. And boom, out of the blue, he just blew this thing. Well, there was a guy sleeping toward one of the back rows. Blows that thing. This guy jumps out of his chair and just darts out of the church. He was gone. The church lost. It was, you couldn't have written it any better. It was just. I remember my dad was preaching, and there was a man on the front, second row, him and his wife, they're an elderly couple, and he was pretty much going deaf, so he couldn't hear very well. You had to talk very loud to him. Well, also, when he talked, he didn't know how to whisper. So if he ever whispered to his wife in church, the whole crowd could hear it, and they sat right in the front row, so the preacher definitely heard it. And I remember my dad preaching, and he leans over, and he says, I thought this thing got over at 12 o'clock noon, right in the middle of my... Wind her down, preacher. My dad had started a church in Jackson, California, and we probably had 40 or 50 people in the church. It was just kind of getting going, and man, it was getting exciting in the church. And my dad's preaching, and my brother had gone to the bathroom. He was about 3 years old, 2 or 3 years old, right in there. Had gone to the bathroom by himself and came right down the middle aisle with his pants totally off, just walking down the aisle. My dad's like, and one of the old ladies is chasing after him, like trying. Hey, you never know what you're going to miss at church. I could talk about some things that have happened at Blessed Hope, but they might be a little too soon to talk about them just yet. You never know what you might miss at church. Number five, I want to have, why should I make it a conviction and not just convenience? I want to have my faith increased. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. You notice how it doesn't say just reading? It says by hearing. Well, how do you hear it? By preaching. You come to church and you hear preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:17 and 18 says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is made to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I could read another verse, but for sake of time, I'll move on. We are warned not to despise or undervalue preaching. We need preaching. We need to be confronted. We need to be convicted. I don't care how long I've been coming to church, I still get convicted about stuff in my life. There's things that slip away in my life, and I need preaching. I've been coming to church from the day I was born. It was already made a decision for me to make church a priority. I didn't even get to make that decision until I became 18. I had to make it myself. But for 36 years, I've been in church, and you know what happens? I get convicted. I've not gotten to a point in my life where I've thought, you know what, I've heard it all. I've heard it all, but I need to be reminded of it all constantly. I need to get on track. I need to be reminded about making this thing a priority. I need to be reminded about making church a priority. I need to be reminded about how to be a good husband. I need to be reminded about things in my life that need to be out that have started getting into my life. And so do you. We all do. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he what? Fall. I want to have my faith increased. I think of a plant. When you ladies like flowers, you plant those flowers at your house in a garden. You plant those, they need something called what? Water. They need sunlight. They need things to grow. There's nutrients that need to be put into them. There's certain kind of soil that helps them become even more beautiful and more vibrant. And the more consistent you stay on it, the prettier they become. Yeah. I'm going to tell my wife this morning. She doesn't care for flowers like some other women do. She likes chocolate, all right? My wife likes chocolate. She tells me, don't worry about the flowers. Those things will die. Get me chocolate. That lives me forever. She loves chocolate. So I can count on one hand how many times I've probably bought chocolate for her because she loves chocolate. She just does. Flowers in our house, if I ever get them for her, they don't last as long because she's like, I just want chocolate in our house. She's like, give me a chocolate flower and I'll water that thing and it'll live forever. No, just kidding. But flowers take a lot of care. Man, you're growing those things. You can give them the right kind of nutrients. There's some that are just experts at it and they know how to make them last for a long time. They know how to make them look as beautiful as for as long as possible. And it takes a lot of work. And they have to be faithful at it. How faithful are you to church? Your life needs to be watered. Your life needs a lot of nutrients from God's word. You can't afford to skip church. Those flowers can't afford to skip watering days. They can't afford for you to skip nutrients. Before long, they'll perish. Before long, they'll die. You make church just a convenience thing, and you go every now and then, I promise you that you are an easy target for the devil. You're a very easy target for the devil. We need each other. I need you. We need each other. Together, we're stronger. Amen? We're a bond of believers together, serving our Savior, soldiers in Christ's army, serving him. And when people quit church, it's not encouraging. It's discouraging. Hey, when new people come to church and join and they start getting on fire with the Lord and they decide to make church a priority, is that encouraging? Oh, yeah. Let's go. We got another one. Sorry, Satan. Not sorry. Man, we're on the winning side. I want to be number six. Why else should I make it a conviction and not convenience? I want to be a faithful example to my lost neighbors. I want to be a faithful example to my lost neighbors. Matthew 5:14 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You notice that phrase, cannot be hid. You see, your neighbors know whether you're a Christian or not. They just do, or they should. But they know when your church, when your vehicle leaves all the time and it's gone Sunday morning, and it's gone Sunday night, or it's gone Wednesday. You know what they realize? Church is a priority for them. They're big into church. They're big into Jesus stuff. They love their Bible. Man, they don't cuss. Man, they're very moral people, and they start to learn that about you. But the opposite can be said about when they see your vehicle sometimes gone on Sunday mornings, sometimes there on Sunday mornings, just kind of back and forth. You know what they realize real quick? Church isn't that big of a priority to them. They know. I want to be a faithful example to my lost neighbors. Hey, when they need help, when they need church, when they need Jesus, and they're looking for answers, and they're looking for hope, I want them to run to me and say, hey, let me show you how to get to Jesus. Let me tell you about what the Bible says. I don't want to be found unfaithful and out of church, or unfaithful to church, and my life a mess and a wreck when they need help. I want to be there for my neighbors. I want to be there for those that are close to me. Who else? Why else should it be a conviction? Number seven, I want God to know that he can count on me. I want God to know that he can count on me. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? I think about the job market today. Those of you that work out there in the work field and at a job, it's very hard to find faithful workers. People that will just show up consistently to work. It's a bad characteristic about America today is that I look in our own town here. Every time I go to these different stores, Dollar General or Family Dollar, you know what? Another different worker. Nobody stays. Nobody will just be faithful to work. How about church? Can we just be faithful and tell God, you can count on me. You can count on me to do something for you, Lord. I will be faithful. You see, some of you may say, well, I want to do something, but nothing's ever been given for me to do at the church. Can you be counted on? If you're not faithful to church, how can you be counted upon? Everything that's done here at Blessedville Baptist Church is done every week. Every Sunday school class downstairs that's taught at 9:30, it's every week. Those teachers don't just show up to church when it's convenient, when it fits into their schedule. We could not have all those Sunday school classes. We could not have a junior church and a primary church and next level class. We couldn't have all these ministries if every Christian treated church as a convenience. Yes. We can have those things when we treat the house of God with the utmost priority, the utmost importance in our life, and say, Lord, I want to be used of you. You can count on me because I will be faithful. Yep. I will be here, Lord. When there's a need, I will be there to fulfill it. Wherever you need me, Lord, I may not be doing anything right now, but if I'm faithful, Lord, I'll be there. I'll be available when something appears. Theodore Roosevelt had a fixed habit of church attendance, and this continued throughout his presidency. The pastor of his church said that he always received a letter or a phone message from the president whenever he wasn't able to make it to church. If he was sick or he was gone out of town somewhere, he always made it a priority. Let his pastor know, Pastor, I'm not going to be able to make it for church, but here's the reason why. He made church, even as a president, a priority. Yes. A newspaper article in 1974 reported that a man by the name of Leo Fortier had rung the bell of his church in Three Rivers, Quebec, every Sunday for 52 years. Quite a record of faithfulness. Growing up, we had a bus driver for our buses. You see these red buses out here. I grew up in Sacramento area, California, and my dad pastored there for many, many years, and we had a man in the church who was there in the church before my dad became the pastor, and that man never missed a Sunday, ever. I remember right before we moved here, he's older now. He's in his late 60s, somewhere in there. He was in the hospital on Saturday night. In the hospital, and everyone was like, the talk was, the record is going to be broken. He'd never missed a Sunday, and I think it was 29 years, and he wanted to get to that 30 mark. And I remember, he checked himself out of the hospital with nobody knowing, showed up to the church and drove the bus, and my brother-in-law, Pastor Becker, found out about it. You should not have been driving the bus. What are you doing? Go home. You're not even physically able to do this. But he made it to 30 years. And he made it a priority to serve God faithfully to be in the house of God. Faithfully, ask yourself this question. If every member were as faithful to church as I am, what kind of church would this church be? And lastly, this morning, why else should it be a conviction and not convenience? I want protection from spiritual drift. I want protection from spiritual drift. Here's what Hebrews 3:13 says. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, one of the greatest dangers in the Christian life is not a sudden fall. It's a slow drift. It's a slow drift. A ship rarely sinks when it's tied to the dock. It gets in trouble when it drifts away and it's where it shouldn't be. The same is true spiritually about us. Most Christians who are out of church today don't wake up Sunday morning and decide, I don't want to go to church anymore. It's a slow drift. I want you to think about anybody that you've seen that started going to church less. And ask yourself this question. You've seen it with your own eyes. Did it help them? Did it hurt them? Did it help their kids? Did it hurt their kids? Are you paying attention? I'm not saying that just to knock other people. I'm saying it because you've got a life to live. I hope people learn from my decisions. I hope they learn from my mistakes. If I make good decisions, I hope it helps other people along the way. We should be there for one another, helping each other in every way we can. But when someone makes a mistake and someone jumps off a cliff, are you going to go do the same thing? We learn from that simple mistake, right? But how about when it comes to the priority of church? You see, I learned at a young age, I think I've told this story before, about a man, one of the faithful men of our church. His marriage was a little rocky, and he decided he was going to be a little more inconsistent to some of the night services. I mean, he was faithful at every church service. His kids came to the school, Christian school, and they were part of everything. They never missed nothing. But his marriage was a little rocky, and he said, I need to make my wife a priority, and by that, I'm going to build her a house. Or not build her house. I'm going to redo our entire house. And he said, that's going to cause me to miss a lot of church services. He told this to my dad. He said, I'm not going to be able to make it to a lot of Sunday night services. I'm not going to be able to make it to a lot of Wednesday night services. It's just, he's like, I've got to make this a priority right now, and I've got to get this done so that I can have a happy marriage. My teenage eyes at 14 years old saw this playing out. And I can tell you from a young age, I learned quickly, when you don't make church a priority, good things do not happen. I'm talking about a good family. If you knew this family, a good family, you would never think would happen what I'm about to tell you. This family, things started getting even more rocky within the home and just not doing good. Not only was he skipping Sunday nights and Wednesday night services, all of a sudden he's skipping Sunday morning services. You're hardly ever seeing him in church, and he's coming up to my dad and Paul. Oh, I'm sorry, preacher. You know, it's gonna be done soon. The more time I put into this, the faster we'll get it done. And you just kept seeing their kids' spirit started changing, and their kids were missing tons of church, and the attitude started developing, and their kids started getting hardened towards the Lord. And a whole year goes by, and it's just getting worse. Then a year and a half goes by, and I remember being in school. 14 years old, and the mom walked in, angry as all could get out in our Christian school, walked into the building and named all the Stewart kids, get up, grab your stuff, we're out of here. And the teacher, whoa, what's going on? We're out of here, get your stuff, let's go, kids. All they had six kids, get out, let's go, go, go. And the kids were like, you know, some of them are tearing up, crying, like, what's going on? They had a feeling that their mom was pulling them out of the school, and they left. Never came back to the Christian school. Never came back to church. And a few months later, their dad was sitting in his living room, became a drunk again. They got divorced. He was sitting in his living room, and he called in some of his boys. His boys were like 15, 16 at the time. Walked in the room, and he had a pistol, went like this, and just shot himself. Yeah. Brains all over the room. I'm talking about a family who did not miss church. But when they took the priority and dropped it way down and missed all the time, their life went somewhere they never would have thought it would have gone to. people in the congregation would have never thought it would have gone to. Like I said, the Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I hope a story like that scares you to death. It scared me to death. I didn't have to think twice. My dad taught me at a young age, watch the decisions of other people. It'll help you, son. When people make decisions, just see how they play out. 2 years, 3 years, 4, 5, 6, 10 years down the road, see how they play out. Yes, so that when you're faced with that decision, you've seen where that decision leads to. Yes, well, I saw where that decision led to in a short amount of time. And I said, okay, God, I'm making church a priority. I've been in a good home, and I've seen what you've done with my family, and I've seen the good stuff of God, and I've seen how good church is and what it's done for us, and I've seen when people don't make it a priority. And that's not one story. As a pastor's kid, I've got many stories that I could tell you of people that did not make church a priority, and it breaks my heart, saddens my heart. Friends that I saw not make church a priority, and it destroyed their life. You see, when a lion goes and attacks a herd of animals, it doesn't jump into the middle of the pack. It finds the one that's off by itself, who has strayed away, who has drifted away and got comfortable and thought they were fine. That's the ones the lions go after. The Bible says that Satan is as a roaring lion. And when you drift away from church, you're drifting away from God. You're drifting away from the Bible. And you're getting comfortable away from yourself or away from God over there. And when you do, you have become an easier target for Satan because you're not surrounded. See, it's hard for Satan when we're here. When we get discouraged, we come to church. You know what happens? Other Christians are here to encourage us, to uplift us, to be there for us, to pray for us. We're here for one another. God's gifted all of us this church, and we're all fighting on the same team. Aren't you thankful for that?
Yes, sir.
We shouldn't have enemies in this room. We are here for one another. God's gifted us as friends and fellowship. He's given us all these things to help us along the way. And when we drift away from it, Satan says, there they are. Now I can get them. I've slowly got them to drift away little by little, and I've convinced them that church should not be as important. When that happens, you better look out. If you're here this morning and you haven't made church a priority, man, I'm begging you this morning. See what happens with it. Just see what God, test God, and see what God will do when you just decide to simply say, church is very important for me. The rest of my schedule, you're going to have to figure it out. You're going to have to look at church and figure out how to fit into my life because church is there no matter what. Everything else got to fit in. Oh, I had family members who had birthday parties on a Sunday and during church time. You know what happened in our house? Well, I guess we can't go to church. We'll have to go to that birthday party. Not in my house. We went to church. If they wanted us there and they really cared about us, they already knew church was a priority. If they really wanted us at their party, they would schedule it a different time. Because church was big for us. God was big for us. The things of God were big for our family. And I can tell you, looking back at my life, I have no regrets about making church a priority. I know many people that can tell you, there's people in this room that could stand up and say, at one point in my life, I decided to not make church a priority. And I'm not proud of those times in my life. It was rough. It was rocky. There were some rough waves. The storms were not good during that time. But I'm thankful I got back. There's people in this room that could tell you about those times. But like Thomas, others could tell you all they want. But until you jump in and make it a priority yourself, you will never truly know how great God is. You will never truly know the goodness of God until you commit and are obedient and faithful to church. I want to ask you, or say this one last phrase and I'm done. The church has never been perfect, but is still God's chosen place for his people to grow. Amen. He's given you this place to grow. I hope you make it a priority in your life. I hope it becomes a conviction. Hope it becomes a conviction. It has helped me in my life, and I know it can help you as well. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for the Bible, Lord. Thank you so much for church. Lord, I thank you for the many Christians in my life that have helped me along the way, that you've sent to help me along the way. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've given to each of those in this room that have made church a priority. Lord, I pray that there may be some this morning that are battling a decision like that, It's not an easy decision, Lord. It's not a small decision. It's a big decision to make church a priority. Lord, I pray that they would just trust you, trust your promises all throughout Scripture about making you a priority. When we make church a priority, we've already headed in the right direction of making you our priority.